From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Many utility customers across California have seen their electricity bills increase in recent years. And when opening that bill, we might immediately hone in on the total at the bottom. But that dollar amount doesn't tell the full story. Many bills from investor-owned utility companies like PG&E include another cost, a baked-in profit for shareholders called a return on equity. Milena Carollo is a business reporter with the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, which partners with public media stations across the state. And she joins us now to talk about these utility companies and why a portion of each payment goes directly into the pockets of shareholders. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Milena, as your reporting shows, this fee is just muddled in to a customer's electricity bill. It is very easy to not even know that it exists. So how did you find out about this?
Yeah, so we were looking, we know that rates are pretty high right now. And so we wanted to understand how those relate to profits. And so the way that it does is through this return on equity that shareholders get. And it's one that doesn't have its own line item on a bill. So it's a little difficult to, for a regular person to suss out. And we wanted to understand the total dollar impact to customers. And so what we did was we took a look at that across the three large investor-owned utilities to understand that impact.
Okay, let's get into investor-owned utility companies, because there's different utility companies across the state. Who are we talking about, and how does it differ from, say, a community-owned or a municipal utility company?
Yeah, absolutely. So we looked at the three major investor-owned utilities in California, and that's PG&E, Southern California Edison, and San Diego Gas and Electric. They serve the majority of customers in California. They differ because they have investors. And so they have shareholders that they answer to that they have a financial responsibility to. And those investors are a big way that they fund projects, which is why they request money from them in the first place.
Okay. So given the one in our area is PG&E, it's the largest or one of the largest utility companies in the country. How did a return on equity fee come about? What is the rationale and how does that work?
Yeah, so it's meant to price for risk. And so when the shareholders buy equity in the company, they're lending the company money. And so they want A, to make their money back, and then also to, you know, get a return on that. And so the return is meant to give those investors their money back. It also helps the company maintain a higher credit rating, and helps them attract better loan rates for future projects. It's a way that they fund the stuff that they build for a lot of it. It's about half of the funding that they get to fund their projects.
Okay. Did you get an idea of how much money they get back?
Yeah, it's quite a lot. So the way it works is they're approved for a certain percentage. They might hit that, or if their financial performance is not so good that year, then they might fall a little bit short of that. But it's on the order of hundreds of millions of dollars. For PG&E, for example, they were in 2023 approved for $125 million, and they ended up collecting about $111 million of that.
Okay. How is that determined? I mean, where's the oversight? Who determines what the limits are?
Yeah, absolutely. So regulators do it. It's the California Public Utilities Commission that sets these rates. They set them every 3 years, but there's a little bit of wiggle room depending on the financial markets if they're allowed to collect a little more or during any given year. And so they're the ones who approve it. Cal Advocates, which represents ratepayers in front of the state, regulators, they usually ask for a little bit lower than what the utilities do. And then the CPUC approves it. And so right now, they're all three of them are hovering around about 10%. And that's pretty on par with the national average, which is also about 10%.
Okay, so this is happening in other states as well with other investor-owned utility companies.
Yes, pretty much every investor-owned utility gets this kind of rate.
So does it essentially work that if you invest in a utility company like PG&E, for example, that you're guaranteed to get money back? Is it as simple as that?
No. So it's a constant mechanism for them to be allowed to make the money back, but you're not guaranteed it. So they're approved for PG&E, for example, in 2023, they're approved for 10%, but they only made about 8.93%. And so if a utility doesn't control its costs for a particular year, that can eat into it. And so this is essentially like what's left over that can go to shareholders. So like if a project takes longer than expected, or if the costs are a little higher than expected, then that number might might shrink. So they might not hit that full 10%.
How does this funnel down to an individual customer? Do you have an idea of how much someone could be paying on a monthly bill? Is it something like $5 or could it be significantly more?
Yeah, the unsatisfying answer is that it depends what your utility is, depends on the performance. But when I spoke with the public advocate's office, they said that it could be as much as, you know, $50 on somebody's bill at a given time. And that, of course, depends on a bunch of different factors, but it's not insignificant. It's not quite as much as, you know, the wildfire costs, which are a massive part of the bill, and solar costs, which are also a large part of the bill. But it is a fairly substantial portion.
So if you get that bill, in the spirit of transparency, can you look at it by line item and say, oh, okay, this is the return on equity for the shareholder. I paid $15 this month.
Yeah, typically not. It's the way it works is it's typically baked into the distribution portion. So you'll see a line breakout for the distribution if you go all the way to like the bottom of your bill, but you're not going to see that. And the reason is it depends on the company's performance and it depends on what their rate is. And so it's actually kind of a difficult thing. It was even difficult for us to, you know, find the right math to calculate this. So it's not a very intuitive thing for folks to find. And I think it would actually take quite a lot of effort to be able to do it. I don't think you're going to be able to see on your specific bill how much you paid for that particular month.
Okay. So you say that when it comes to the three major investor-owned utility companies in California, that the shareholder return rate is around 10% between, you know, roughly. How is that determined? I know the CPUC sets that, but what metric do they use to come out to 10% and change?
Yeah. So they're looking at like the financial structure of the company. They're looking at, I hope I don't get this wrong. They're looking at a couple different things, like how much they get from bonds, how much they get from shareholders. So looking at their debt, they're looking at a whole bunch of different things. And then the utility is the one that puts forth the number and says, hey, based on this math, we need this number. And so they are able to say that. But the commission also looks at, as part of their equation, the treasury rates for the, I believe it's for the 10-year treasury rates. And so they're looking, those are considered riskless. Those are what considered across like the industry and a bunch of different places to be what's like absolutely no risk. And so the utilities are saying, no, we don't have no risk. We have quite a lot of risk. And that's why we need this higher number. And that's usually the justification for saying like, hey, we need, you know, 11% instead of what we've got now.
When you're talking to these utility companies, what do they say the money is being used for?
Yeah, they say the money goes right back into their programs. And so they're saying like, look, even though we give it to shareholders, the shareholders invest it back into us and we reinvest profits. And so they're trying to say that, you know, it's a fairly closed system. It comes back into us and that money is used for programming. But, you know, they say that they do need to incentivize shareholders because they need that money directly for the projects that they build.
But what do ratepayer advocates say? This also comes at a time when a lot of people are paying more every month.
Right. Yeah. So I spoke with a few experts on this and they said, look, 10% is excessive across the board. Most utilities have that 10%. And it's a little bit of a psychology thing where regulators, they make like 1% down is 9 and it's only 1%, but it kind of feels big to go from double digits to single digits. And so, you know, 10% may be appropriate for a particular company, but across the board, approving like 10% for many companies is excessive, is what they're saying.
Well, yeah, and of course, and 10% of, say, $100 is different than 10% of $1,000, right?
Right, and they're working on the order of billions of dollars that they're taking 10% of, so it's quite a lot of money at the end of the day. Mm.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters reporter Milena Carollo about investor-owned utility companies and why a portion of each payment goes directly into the pockets of shareholders. Milena, we're also having this conversation at a time when the CPUC approved about a half dozen rate increases for PG&E customers within the past year. We've had these conversations on Insight. Where does that fit into this conversation?
Yeah, so it does. It all comes out of the pockets of ratepayers. So ratepayers are going to end up paying those. They're also going to end up paying the shareholder fee. The money comes out of what's called a rate base. It's so the total pot of money that utilities are allowed to get a return on. And so, though this is also making ratepayers' bills go up. It's a smaller portion of that, but I think that with all the stacking different increases that people have seen, they're certainly going to feel it.
Given that you're a business reporter and you walk in the world of finance, what did you find most surprising when you started digging into this a little bit more?
I found surprising that the number of even if the percentage goes down a little bit, because the percentages have gone down up and down a little bit over the years, but the rate bases typically grow quite a lot, and so they've gone up consistently since 2006 for all three of them. And so even if the rate goes down a little bit, it's such a large pot of money that they are taking that percentage of that, it's still hundreds of millions of dollars. And so it's important to keep an eye on that percentage, but even still, even if it's lower, it's still quite a lot of money that's at stake.
We've also had lawmakers on the show over the past year when talking about the rate increases, about being concerned and fighting for their constituents that are dealing with higher electricity costs. Have you heard any interest from lawmakers or people in a position of power outside the CPUC that want to try to rein in these rates?
Yeah, when I spoke with experts, they said that it's becoming a sort of hotter topic, and people are looking at this, and different commissions around the country have been more interested in this. But I think it's something that is a little, they say, is like a little bit understudied, and also the average person just isn't super aware of it. And so I'm not sure how much it's on folks' radar. But today, after there was a PUC meeting that's going on right now, and this was brought up in one of the public comment periods. So it seems like it's getting a little bit of traction.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. So if you are that average person that's listening to this right now and you're like, hey, I just learned about this, is there any agency in this? Is there anything that they can do if they would want to have a voice in this?
Yeah, there's always an ability to reach out to the Public Utilities Commission and speak in their public comment period. They can always send comments in, they can do it that way. I think that's the best way to do it.
Finally, what do you hope people take away from your reporting? It can be kind of complicated and wonky.
Yeah, it's going to be totally complicated, and I'm sure that people's eyes roll back when we talk about finances. But I want people to understand that there's a lot that goes into your energy bill, and shareholder profits are part of it. They're always part of it, and they can go up and down. But there's quite a lot of money that goes into that, and I think it's good for people to be aware of it.
Milena, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Milena Carollo is a business reporter with the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, and we've been talking about her latest look into investor-owned utility companies and why a portion of each payment goes directly into the pockets of shareholders. Up next, Dry January is a modern trend that is riding a larger wave of cutting back on alcohol. We'll explore how California's wine industry is responding to the changing attitudes towards drinking and health. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.